Okay, Alexander, we have got to talk about the big news of the day, of the weekend, and probably of the week that enters, and that is what's going on in Austria. And we'll start the video. We'll talk about Austria first, then we'll shift gears and we'll talk about the Czech Republic after that, and the parliamentary elections after that, because these are connected topics. And at the end of the day, Alexander will probably have to touch upon where this all leads. And to me, this all roads lead to April elections in Hungary. And the European Union appears to be picking off countries one by one. That's how it looks to me. In other words, I'm seeing countries which are either doubtful to side 100% with the European Union, or countries that are 100% never going to side with the European Union being changed, being picked off. In the case of Austria, we have this this corruption scandal. But at the end of the day, it seems like we're going to be looking at Austria, Czech Republic, maybe some other countries, and then we'll eventually lead up to Poland and to Hungary. And I say Poland, Hungary because we have the legal case that that was going on in Poland. You may want to touch on that as well. But it all leads to this April final standoff between the European Union and Orban. But let's start now with Austria. Now, Austria, Sebastian Kurz, some people consider him a conservative Christian. Other people don't. Other people say he is very much a globalist. Maybe he's in the middle. But my opinion on Sebastian Kurz is such. Even if he is 80% globalist, 80% European Union, and 20% he may go against the EU. That's 20% too much for the people in Brussels. So Alexander, get to this story. Corruption charges. Sebastian Kurz had to step down as chancellor. Very, very big news coming out of Austria.
Huge news. And can I say, first of all, that I agree with both parts of your analysis. I also think entirely that this is the EU, or rather the EU combinat, picking off countries one by one. There's clearly been a decision taken at some level. I'm so sorry if this sounds a little bit like an intrigue, but sometimes intrigues happen. But I think there's clearly been a decision taken that they're going to clear out all the dissident countries. Angela Merkel is no longer there. She's no longer in a position, therefore, to keep things under control. So you can't allow dissidents to go around. You clear them all out because you need to, as the decks are, you need to clear the decks to prepare for whatever comes in the big countries, France and Germany, especially Germany. So I think this is really what's going on, and you're absolutely right about that. And I also completely agree with you about Kurz. Now, Kurz, in my opinion, is not 80%, 20%. It's probably 95% pro-EU, 5%, dissident. But 0.5% dissident is too much for them. They will never accept or trust you unless you are 100% with them. That's, I think, the essential point to understand about EU politics. And I think that where Kurz went horribly wrong, and the reason he has become unstuck, is because he didn't understand that. And I think we've got to actually take a couple of steps back and think this through, and see how this worked out over a couple of years to see how this happened. Now, Kurz was in some ways the most popular politician in Austria. He was rising fast, he was charismatic, he was able to appeal to many people from many parts of Austrian society. He was also very ambitious, he rose very fast, he cut corners. And he did various things, which undoubtedly, well, I'd say undoubtedly, which I think very probably exposed him to the scandal that he's now facing. And I want to make it very clear, I'm not prejudging this issue, but as far as I can see, this is all about this scandal is all about Kurz cutting corners in order to raise money, in order to build up a campaign, in order to become Austrian Chancellor. It's not classic corruption of him taking bribes or anything like that. But, let's assume it's true. Let's actually take a couple of steps back and remember how all this began. Kurz becomes chancellor some years ago. He becomes chancellor in coalition with the Freedom Party, which some people see as a far-right party. The Freedom Party is Eurosceptic, right-wing, anti-immigrant, and it wants a better relationship between the EU, certainly between Austria and Russia. So it is, it's deeply suspicious. People, the EU people in Brussels are deeply suspicious of this. And they don't like the fact that Kurz is in coalition with this party. So they pick off first the coalition partner. If you remember, there was that fabricated scandal in which the leader of the Freedom Party was filmed having a conversation with a person who we were told, or who he was told, was the niece of a Russian oligarch, all about the Russians gain, you know, providing funding to the Freedom Party in return for access to the Austrian media. The whole thing was then exposed very quickly as a sting. And not just as a sting, I mean, this wasn't a Russian woman. This was just as a sting. It's important to say that the leader of the Freedom Party didn't actually agree anything with this person. So, I mean, the whole thing was a scandal manufactured out of absolutely nothing. And this is where I think Kurz made his big mistake. Because instead of standing by his coalition partner, which he could easily have done, I think, he could have come along, he could have said, you know, this is all nonsense. This is clearly a sting. There's no reason, no impropriety was committed. Nothing was done wrong. The only thing that was done wrong by the people who set up this thing. And who are they? And, you know, let's find out. What he did was he threw his coalition partner under a bus, called an election, won the election, and then entered into coalition with the Greens, who in Austria, as everywhere else in Europe, are a fervidly pro-EU party. And of course, that set the time bomb underneath him, because the Greens then bided their time, Brussels then bided its time, until the day finally came when they were able to spring this corruption scandal, which then brought Kurz down. And of course, he doesn't, in this situation, have a coalition partner that he can rely upon, because he's now in alliance, in coalition with the Greens, who are a pro-EU party, and who are the people who are running with this scandal. And what brought Kurz down was that the Greens were saying that unless Kurz stands down, they will vote against the coalition, and they were entering into talks with the other pro-EU opposition parties in order to engineer the fall of the coalition government and to bring the coalition government and Kurz down with it. So that's what's happened. By throwing his original coalition partner, the Freedom Party, under a bus, in order to appease, if you like, Brussels, the EU opinion, the liberal people across Europe, those sort of people, he undermined, in the end, his own government, and he set the scene for his own downfall. It was a classic mistake made by a political leader who is overconfident, inexperienced, and doesn't understand the sheer ruthlessness and single-mindedness and unappeasable quality of the people that he is dealing with.
Yeah, this has been, like you said, a multi-year process, a 4 or 5 year process to remove Kurz from being chancellor in Austria by the EU. And the main sticking point for Kurz is not that he disagreed with the EU on many topics or issues or policies. It was the one topic of migration, where Kurz was constantly butting heads with the European Union. Other than that, he was pretty much in the Merkel Brussels elite club. But when it came to migration, he was very difficult. Alexander, just a side note before you respond, right now we have the foreign minister Alexander Schallenberg, who is now temporarily running the country, and he is, from what I understand, very EU sympathetic. Very EU sympathetic.
Absolutely, and that's exactly the point. I mean, first of all, you're absolutely right. It's 95, the issue is 95% immigration policy. That, you know, Kurz took an anti-immigrant line, at least an anti-immigrant line insofar as the EU would see it. So that opened him up to all kinds of criticisms and all that kind of thing, and it made him look unreliable. And of course, and this is, in this he is very close to other people in Austria, many people in Austria, he is slightly more soft on Russia than it is acceptable to be. He was a very strong supporter of Nord Stream 2, for example. So you know, you clear him out, he's unreliable, he doesn't follow the line, the party line, sorry to use that expression, on immigration. He's not really to be trusted on Russia. So you get him out of the scene, you invent this scandal. Firstly, you bring down his coalition partner, you destabilize his coalition, and then you bring him down by bringing up this scandal as well. If he had had a reliable coalition partner and a solid government behind him, he could have survived this scandal. I am sure of it, because it doesn't really implicate him personally in any corrupt wrongdoing. I mean, he cut corners, he did things wrong, maybe he even committed offences, criminal offences along the way, but, you know, not of the kind that I think people ultimately care about very much. And also, I'm going to say it straightforwardly, I'm being a bit cynical here, the sort of thing that many politicians up and down the EU do. I mean, he's surely not the first or the last person to cut corners in terms of his own rise to power. If he'd had a solid government, he could have survived this scandal. He didn't. He didn't have a solid government. And the result is that he has been brought down. The EU has won. They've now got in charge in Vienna somebody that they can rely upon and trust completely. So, you know, it's been deftly done. But he himself partly authored his own downfall, because instead of holding firm and keeping his government together, he tried to appease them and he threw his coalition partner under the bus.
Exactly. If he had stood by the coalition partner back during the first scandal that broke out, supposedly a scandal, if he had stood by them, he would not be in this mess. He got in bed with the Greens. The Green Party in Europe is, wherever there's a Green Party in Europe, understand that it is pro-globalist, pro-EU, period. Above and beyond anything else, a Green Party is pro-globalist, pro-EU. It has nothing to do with environmental stuff or anything like that anymore. These parties are globalist. Why did he agree to this? Why did he get in bed with the Greens? This is his major downfall. And one more other interesting note, Alexander, is that outside of this initial scandal, he is also has another allegation, which is of perjury, which is a separate investigation that's being run. So he's got a lot of stuff to clear up.
Absolutely. And they'll come, because, of course, this is the point, because since his position is so weak now, instead of, you know, being able to take a strong line and push all these things aside, they're going to come after him with more and more things. My own personal view about this is that Kurz, as a political force in Austria, is done. It's broken. I mean, he might survive the legal challenges. It's possible he will. I mean, I don't want to prejudge those. But I don't think, as a political force, he will ever come back and be the kind of political force that he seemed to be a few years ago. And why did he do it? Because he made the same mistake that people always make. They think that if you give Brussels, I always talk about Brussels, but, you know, we're talking about the whole complex of people we're involved. If you give them something, if you try and compromise with them, they will somehow come round and accept you. And they never do. We've seen the same thing happen to Marine Le Pen and how, you know, she's imploding. We saw the same with Salvini. We see the same with all sorts of people. They all come along. They think that, you know, if you start moderating your position a little, if you start moving a little bit towards their position, you will somehow join the mainstream, you become acceptable, you'll be invited to the right parties, you'll be able to be on good terms with all the right people, and you'll be able to continue to have, you know, some of your issues that you care, you know, you please your base, but ultimately you'll be accepted. And that never happens, because with Brussels, and I'm using Brussels as a metonym for many other things, but, you know, for the group of people that we're talking about, you're either with them 100%, 150%, or you are against them, and they will never, ever accept you if they decide that you're not 100% with them. And all you do, if you try to appease them, is one, you're appeasing the unappeasable, and two, you're weakening your own base. And that's what Kurz did, and that's why, as I said, he's out, and out, I suspect, forever, and why, as I said, he's in the trouble that he's in.
Okay, so let me read some quotes, Alexander. Bear with me, and then you can respond, and we'll close out the part about Austria. This is coming from Reuters, just giving some context as to what Kurz is facing. Prosecutors have placed Kurz and 9 others under investigation on suspicion of breach of trust, corruption, and bribery with various levels of involvement, starting in 2016, when Kurz was seeking to take over as party leader. Prosecutors suspect the conservative-led finance ministry paid for manipulated polling and coverage favorable to Kurz to be published in a newspaper. Documents circulated as part of their investigation and published in Austrian media also included embarrassing and compromising text messages saying Kurz's opponents show a lack of scruples and underhanded tactics. So that is some more context as to what Kurz is facing. And here's a tweet, just to wrap it up, Alexander, a tweet from Carl Bildt, who is very much a globalist, very much part of the EU camp, and very much an EU neocon. He says, facing defeat in parliament, PM Kurz steps down and hands over to FM Alexander Schallenberg. The coalition continues, and Kurz will focus on answering the accusations leveled against him. The immediate crisis in Austria is then over. So Bildt is saying the fact that Kurz is out and Schallenberg is in means that for now, everything is okay.
Absolutely. That's exactly because, you know, people like him have won. And that's what this is all about. Now, let's just unpack those allegations again. I mean, using funds from the finance ministry to get manipulated polling data, to manipulate polling data and all that kind of thing. Very wrong. I'm not countenancing it in any way. Are you going to tell me it never happens, that no one else has ever done anything like that? That, you know, and note again, they say, you know, underhand tactics. You know, politics involves lots of underhand tactics. You're going to tell me Kurz is the only person who engages in underhand political tactics? Is that what, you know, if you apply the same kind of tests against, you know, all politicians across the board, believe me, you're not going to get many politicians in the EU left. The simple fact of the matter is, what Kurz has done, I'm not countenancing it. I think it's utterly wrong. But it is the reality of how politics is conducted in Europe today. So that, but by doing all of that, obviously, once his political base is weakened, he exposes himself to the kind of legal and judicial attacks that we have seen. And by the way, I'm going to add one final point. Notice also how in country after country, in France, in Italy, now in Austria, you see how the judicial and legal machinery is brought into play, and law enforcement machinery is regularly brought into play in order to go after people who are seen as a challenge to the Brussels centre. And that, I'm afraid, is becoming very much a trend, and it's becoming very much a problem in many countries.
Yeah, all fair. All right. We'll close out this part with Austria. Alexander, we'll keep an eye on Austria as the story continues and develops within the week. This will probably be a two-parter video, so let's go with the second part, and that'll be a focus on the Czech Republic.